You seek the key, but first, you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system up to a 313-mile range and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is their most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.
It's Jim Cramer here. You're listening to the opening bell of CNBC's Squawk on the Street. Don't miss a minute of the action.
Good Tuesday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Quintanilla with Jim Cramer, David Faber at the New York Stock Exchange. Record S&P closes for the last eight sessions, the longest streak in a quarter century, but futures are taking a pause this morning. Tons of news as GE announces a split into three. PPI is in line, but year-on-year, a fresh 2010 high. And as Joe said, Treasury still bid 10-year yield below 1.4. As we said, GE surging as it announces a plan to split into three public companies, and Larry Culp will be on the program later this hour. David?
Yeah, you know, in some ways, not a surprise, because many of us who followed this company closely for many years, guys, anticipated at some point it would be split into its component parts. But at the same time, when you see it in print and you think about the long history of GE the fact that it will sort of come to an end as a conglomerate that was known and loved for many years by investors, but not for a long time. It still is somewhat surprising. And, of course, if you haven't heard the news itself, three separate companies will be created from the current GE, healthcare, renewables, power, digital, healthcare one company, renewables, power, digital, another company, and, of course, aviation being the third. They don't have the names yet at this point. This is going to take years.
Oh, my God, a couple years before.
2023 for healthcare, 2024 for power, renewables, digital. But you will get there, Jim. And, of course, you know, and speaking to Larry Culp briefly this morning, and we're going to have him join us about 40 minutes now, he's talking about the things that we talk a lot about, which is focus, you know, the ability to attract the investor base that you deserve, and that can be far easier to actually deal with, because right now you're a conglomerate, and so if you like healthcare, you're really going to invest here because you're dealing with power and aviation as well. If you like power, same thing. And then capital allocation and even strategic deals down the road for all of these companies that could use their own currency. Certainly something that conceivably makes sense. I'm told the board has been really focused and engaged on this only for the last few months, although we know it's been something we've talked about at this desk for years.
But you needed to see certain things happen. Larry had to reduce the debt. They did, $75 billion. Right. That's quite an amazing amount. I hope people who are watching recognize what it takes pay down that much debt. All three investment grade. I think that's very important because, like you said, they'll be able to do things. Aviation's obviously doing incredibly well, which people think, well, maybe can't do that well because Boeing's problems. No, because they do a lot of maintenance. So, I think Larry did a great job. And, Carl, when you see somebody like Larry really had to deal with a terrible situation. Remember when the stock was at 5 and there were people using a price target of 4? And no, he did it. And he did it by being humble, having to sell some divisions. I know he didn't necessarily want to have to sell that high-growth healthcare. That was a fantastic business. Did Danaher,
has done what you've always talked about. He's under-promised and over-delivered to a large extent. Listen, there are still issues, the long-term liability, the long-term care liability
GE. Taken care of.
Yes, they said it's taken care of. They don't appear to have any pension,
new policies
obligations. Aren't being no pension obligations, certainly for quite a few years to come as well.
Right.
That will stay at GE. By the way, I mean, you're going to have new leaders of obviously these two other businesses. 19.9% of healthcare will still be owned by GE.
Right.
He will still be the chairman and CEO of GE. But eventually, when you get to the point where this is truly all split up, likelihood is he becomes exec chair, is what I'm hearing.
Non-exec
of healthcare, but executive chair of GE, which will be the aviation company run by that other gentleman.
But I'll tell you what's really interesting. We're going to get to this. This renewable and power business is just so not ready.
Right.
I mean, this is like...
What do you mean it's not ready?
Well, it's just not doing that well. I mean, I think ultimately it could be an interesting company. People want an ESG play. Well, it's got all the ESG
that's
in
gonna
the world.
That's what they want to position it to be, is an ESG
play.
How about a play
that makes a lot of money for it?
Right.
No.
Right.
But I think that's one of the reasons why Larry said it'll take a couple of years. And in that time, they can probably pull something together. I mean, remember, they were decimated this year. Remember the big wind project that was just overrun by COVID? And I think, you know, Carl, one of the things that people are desperate for, pure play, windmill, solar, sure. It's going to be in.
Pure well, that, I think that's one question this morning is why was this absolutely necessary, or could you get by on a reverse split and a new CEO and divestitures and deleveraging?
We got to ask. I mean, I think one of the problems is that it was just they couldn't create the value no matter what they did, because I think too many people were saying, oh, wait a second, healthcare, renewables, aviation. It's, maybe they should buy Schmucker and get some peanut
butter. The old dynamic was you smooth it out, right? Even by media companies, to smooth it out.
Honeywell has been able to do it, but they constantly reshuffle the portfolio. But you know, GE was famous for giving things away and buying high. Oil, David, bought a little high there and then sold low.
Virtually Comcast, no asset for quite a period of time where they didn't seem to sell low and buy high.
Right. Yeah. No, that wasn't their intent.
No. No, we've had long discussions, or I have certainly, with Mr. Immelt during his 15 years or so running the business, right. 16 years, in terms of that. And, you know, he defends. You can read his book and talk about that. You take a look at the 20 years. We're looking at it right now. I mean, there's that gives you a sense as to, right. to the pain that investors have suffered. This was a, what, $500, $600 billion market value right. At the end right. of the last century, right. sort of nearing 2000, trading at 45 times earnings. Was that multiple ever deserved? Probably not. Was GE Capital certainly an important component of the ability of this company to deliver results in a way that was not necessarily reflective of really strong underlying fundamentals? Perhaps. But here we are today, and GE is basically going to be gone as a company in 3 years.
Well, I think that I remember the period where Mr. Immelt came on Mad Money, and he was promising certain numbers and couldn't deliver. I have since thought long and hard about his impact on my career, which is very positive, and to recognize that there were many that he had a series of bad breaks, and I'm willing to say that. I think that it's time, as opposed to burying the hatchet in people's head, which, you know, David, I'm somewhat familiar with. I'm just bygones be bygones on Jeff. It's time to move on.
Well, it is. And for Culp, it has been about moving on the entire time. To your point, deleveraging. I mean, very important to remember the AerCap deal.
Yes, the AerCap deal. By the way, he bought a little company for healthcare.
Cleaned up GE Capital. Obviously, you had the GECAS, Biopharma deals. He had so many things that he's done along the way over these last few years.
And they funded $9.4 billion for that state, for that healthcare right. insurance. Yep. I mean, my father bought that healthcare insurance for $20,000, and it gave you $150,000 in benefits single year.
They've been mispriced, I think.
It was. I mean, the amount of mispriced, you know, they didn't count on longevity, and they didn't count on how much it would cost to have a nurse in your place. I mean, I would go to my father's place. He had a nurse. He's got, you know, I said, how long does this thing last? He said, well, the rest of my life. Right. I said, Pop, I know you're going for the long haul.
Those were the greatest policies ever for those.
He said, I'm going to give that John Hancock a beating. They would never unbelieve it.
You've got some time to decide, Jim, but of the three units, if you could only have one,
yeah.
I'm going to guess you take aviation.
Aviation is so good. And we saw how good aviation is with Greg Hayes. Now, look, remember, Greg Hayes did this, except for he threw in the Raytheon. This is what Greg Hayes did. And by the way, when you look at how well Otis is doing, and when you look
at
HVAC, Carrier's doing fabulously.
No, listen, the breakup of UTX is certainly what they would love to see in terms of value creation.
That's your
now,
roadmap.
I did ask the question, and I'm told at least from people who are obviously working on this that was not necessarily something that was foremost in their thoughts.
Oh,
but
it's called a template.
Yeah, I mean, but you look at that breakup and what they accomplished there with the Otis and Carrier performance, and it certainly had a
Although
bigger problem.
Although aviation's fortunes are largely tied to Boeing, whom you still have issues with.
Well, I mean, Boeing, I have issues because I like planes to fly. First of all, I think that matters. Second, I like planes being sold and not just being parked. Now, I may be harping on small things.
Still in your investment club.
I'm up a lot on it for the
on Boeing.
Oh, don't worry. We're going to get to something. We're going to savage me on PayPal.
You're really up a lot on Boeing?
Yeah, I am. I bought it right.
Oh, you did?
Bought it right.
Check that.
But PayPal,
dude,
I bought PayPal wrong after buying it right.
Your average price.
I bought it wrong.
Now,
PayPal's down 15. This is a very humbling day for me. Last night, I won in fantasy, but I lost in PayPal.
A bunch of price target cuts this morning on PayPal. We'll get to some of that. along with news from AMC, Roblox, DR Horton, Palantir, Royal Caribbean, Peloton. We'll take a break here. Take a look at futures. I'm back in a moment.
Hello, I'm Laura Castleton, U.S. Head of Portfolio Construction and Strategy at Janus Henderson Investors. Is a brighter future possible? At Janus Henderson, we think it is. For 90 years, we've worked to help clients achieve superior financial outcomes and fulfill our purpose of investing in a brighter future together. We know that this means our thinking and our investments are helping to shape millions of brighter futures for the next 90 years and beyond. To learn more, go to janushenderson.com.
What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration, our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.
Robinhood is down in the pre-market after disclosing that data security incident that took place Wednesday night. In a blog post, the trading platform said, quote, the unauthorized party obtained a list of email addresses for about 5 million people and full names for a different group of approximately 2 million people. Robinhood says the breach has since been contained. No social security numbers, bank account numbers, or debit card numbers were exposed in the hack. Additionally, this report this morning that the EU is on pace to ban payment for order flow has things interesting.
Well, look, Robinhood, the travails continue. When you go over that, the hack, it's very odd because they do say 310 people got additional name, date of birth, zip code, and then 10 people got more extended. 10. I mean, okay, they brought in Mandy and FireEye, but I just find that Robinhood is, again, not ready. It's just not ready. That's not their fault. No one ever anticipated how well it would do. I do think that they think safety is paramount. But payment for order flow, which is something that we stopped talking about with Chairman Gensler, is something that I think you're going to have to really explain to your customers why you're not getting commission-free. That's the wrong term, is commission-free.
When you say not ready, what do you mean? Not ready for
what?
I
mean, like,
not ready to be a public company? What do you mean, not ready?
You know, the compliance, the security, all the things that you need, like that Morgan Stanley would just have, Goldman would have. It just seems like that, I mean, a hack, a boom.
Yeah, although there are any number of institutions. I mean, it's every day.
Okay,
a
I'm still all right. I'm still thinking about what happened.
Now, we do hope our financial institutions may be a bit
more secure. At the end of January, it showed you that they didn't have the controls. And then they've tried to institute the controls. Look, there by the grace of God, we're all not hacked, right? I mean, I got hacked at JP Morgan. Yeah. I got hacked at Apple. I bought everybody in the town where the Great White struck. I bought everybody a phone there.
I'm not following you.
Oh, when you go down to Garden
English?
State, when you go down to Garden State, there's a town where the Great White came up.
What are you
talking
about?
No, I'm just saying that there was a town. I don't want to reveal the name of the town, but they got my number, and they bought a number of phones.
Are you conflating Jaws somehow with something?
No, there was a terrible
Was Roy Scheider in
this
story in some way?
Go watch the special.
Go watch the special?
The special.
Okay, we got to end this. There's something I can figure out.
I'm looking for segues. We are going to talk about SeaWorld, I guess.
I can translate to our viewers, but this time I'm in the dark.
Keyport.
Keyport?
Yeah, well, it's just...
Is that the name of the town?
Yeah, if you get hacked, may I suggest that when you get hacked, you change your... Wait, take a look at what your password is. Does it have your kids' names?
Okay.
Does it have, like, simple numbers? Does it have just an exclamation point? Well, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to crack you. I'm going to crack it myself.
Okay.
Mattawan was, well, nearby town from Mattawan.
Ah, yes. Famous town in New Jersey, yes. By the way, there's a look at AMC and some of the actually, Roblox, a bunch of...
Roblox, the greatest short squeeze ever told.
28% this morning, right?
Yep, I have Roblox on tonight. Now, Roblox was supposed to... This is such a great example. You know, Palantir was... Palantir, not so good. When you looked at what was supposed to happen with Peloton,
yes.
Okay, that was supposed to be a company that we thought had something after pandemic.
Right.
Well, it did. Then we looked at Zoom. We thought they had something. 5.9, by the way, very good numbers.
Yes, 5.9, the deal they didn't get to do because their stock came down
so much.
So
then we started thinking, okay, so who else is there that might screw up? And let's put a short on Roblox. Well, Roblox's business accelerated. So the shorts are taking it once again.
Not to mention,
will you look at that?
Not to mention, it is seen as a one of the ways to play the coming
metaverse.
Some argue it is the precursor to
it's
the
an
metaverse.
Alternative yes. metaverse. Yeah. I think it's the children's metaverse, and it's also rocks. Remember, you have concerts in the metaverse.
Yes, you do.
Safer
concerts.
Yes,
and you can hear in the metaverse. You can't feel in the metaverse, though.
David, when you come,
can you smell in the metaverse?
I'm going to take you into the metaverse. You won't. We'll go to one of the stores in the metaverse.
I have some.
AMD's going to make sure you can smell, right?
Okay. There's a Ralph Lauren store in the metaverse, and it's crushing.
Can I smell perfume in the metaverse?
I'm working on that.
Well, the leather smell of a Ralph Lauren store, will I smell that in the metaverse?
David,
yeah.
If you continue to deride the metaverse, you're going to miss the next.
I'm not deriding the metaverse. I have a lot of questions about the metaverse. I take it very seriously.
But
it's coming.
Do you know that Jensen Huang, who invented basically the Omniverse,
yes.
is not even talking about that in his keynote. Apparently, it's all about he finally cracked the autonomous.
Well, you've told us that's very important. Let me end with one final question on the metaverse, guys. This is my big question. When I die, will I still be alive in the metaverse? And will my family be able to come and talk to me?
Are you okay?
No, I'm fine. I'm just wondering.
Is there something?
Like, at some point, won't our digital representation live on in the metaverse, powered by AI that somehow
I'll tell you what's going to happen, David.
And that my kids and my grandkids and can come see me.
No, because
when will you be able to visit with all your ancestors?
Because I'm going to have an NFP and I'm going to own you. And I might let your kids visit periodically.
You're not answering the question.
No,
it's a serious
question. It's not Ted Williams. It's not cryogenics, for heaven's sake.
Why not? Why won't you, in 15 or 20 or 30 years, have your digital representation live on in the metaverse?
They could, basically download your brain function.
And AI will run it.
Yeah.
My representation.
You're talking about eternal life?
I'm asking the question.
Let's ask Jensen. He's probably thought about that.
I've stumped him.
Bet you he has.
I am stumped. Jensen.
I'm still trying to figure out the great whites.
Jensen, that's where the town where I was hacked.
Town?
Haslett, Keyport. Everybody got a phone because of me. No, I'm just saying, you got to look at your passwords. I am begging people look at their passwords and make them so you can't remember them yourself. That's when you have a good one.
Yes. We are going to talk more NVIDIA as the GTC conference gets underway, goes for a few days. And, of course, Larry Culp of GE on the company's plan to split itself into three as we're going for 9 straight gains. Who knows, maybe 9 straight records on the S&P, although futures are mixed. Back in a moment.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. Dear small and medium businesses, no one wants happy customers more than you do. So you need a business partner just like you. Like FedEx, who understands your passion for serving your customers because they have the same commitment towards you. That's why FedEx offers you picture proof of delivery, package-less and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. What's more, FedEx Ground is faster to more locations than UPS Ground. Trust FedEx for timely deliveries. See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively FedEx.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.
Welcome back, everybody. Opening bell about 8.5 minutes or so from now. You know, Jim, you mentioned PayPal briefly.
Yes.
Let's get to it in the man.
Okay, so first I want to just point out, I am happy to say, listen, the investment club, yes, we own AMD. How great are we, right? Wow, I cannot believe we own the metaverse. And wow, we own NVIDIA. Well, we own this. And this is, and I'm going to explain this on our conference call, this is the definition of hubris by both me and by Dan Schulman, who's the CEO. See, because we felt that eBay, the separation was going to happen, and it would be the worst part would be this quarter. You can go back. He said that. Turned out to be they're not done. You can say the worst part, but it's still there. But, David, the Pinterest interest, I think, was because businesses slowed down. Now, they would be adamant to say that the last few weeks have been better. they start. But they, David, they started the call with, wow, the big news is the Venmo Amazon deal. And no, it's a yawner. And that's why everyone cut the price target.
Where's the
I asked Dan to come on last night.
All right. Where's the slowdown? Where is it coming from?
They said that the back to school season was slower. Back to school is red hot for everybody.
So what do you have a sense?
Remember the
what
mall? Maybe, how great the mall is?
What may be going on here?
I found it quizzical and a head scratcher.
Both?
Yes. I raised eyebrows and I felt very disappointed. And I was sad. Frankly, even though I was playing someone and all that had to happen was Allen Robinson. If you got 14 points, I was in clover. It didn't matter. And my daughter's with me watching the football. Why are you so down?
But you weren't morose, were you?
I was saturnine.
You were?
Yeah, I was saturnine.
Were you lugubrious?
No, completely. And my daughter said, what's the matter? I said, I got this wrong. It's an investment club. I care very, very much. It's public. And I have to eat crow. And she brought out the honey mustard.
She did. All right.
Which,
what do
way,
I do now?
Crow and honey mustard, very
what
good.
What do I do now as you are in the investment
besides
club?
Besides slit my throat? No, don't make jokes about it. My daughter's
suicide
cancer.
That's not me.
My daughter's suicide cancer.
What do we do here?
Okay,
do we hold
right
on
here,
to this?
Yeah. We hold on. Why?
Why?
Because this is where we should have sold. Now we find out, oh, it's bad. That's when you are just a sucker. This was when you should have sold. This is when you say, you know what? I have faith. And I have John Rainey faith and I have Dan Schulman faith. But my faith was misplaced here. And you see, this is what, you know what a guy who does is that it's called a, and not motley, just outright. Oh, thank you. That's very helpful. Oh, that's really great. Hey, Mr. Emoji.
All right, we're back.
No, look, I don't mean to denigrate myself. I just want to beat myself up.
You're a fool. All right, we're coming back after this. Don't forget, of course, GE's plan to split into three public companies. We're going to be joined by Chairman and CEO Larry Culp later this hour. We're back with the opening bell.
Keep your eye on NVIDIA today. A lot of business getting done this week in the space as we got a lot of corporate events. Yesterday it was about AMD and Meta. Today it's NVIDIA and Luminar, Jim, on this self-driving deal.
When I was out there a few years ago, Jensen, who is unlike most CEOs, he plays with a complete open hand, he showed me a video of he was running millions of times the impact of autonomous driving and the possibility of a crash. And the thing that had just completely stymied him was black ice. He couldn't see black ice. So obviously this issue has been solved. And Jensen was, he was at me. They were running it something like a million times an hour to find out what the key was. And if Jensen says that this car is safe, then it's safer than a human. And I'm just thrilled. He's probably figured out what to do. He was concerned about Omniverse and safety. Maybe he's figured that out. That's important. AMD's got some of the Omniverse platform.
Yep.
It was quite a day for those two companies.
And then we got this EVgo partnership with GM Uber. We've got you saying Rivian, you'd still rather take Ford over a chance on Rivian?
Well, I just think Rivian's going to open up so high. Ford, by the way, did something really special yesterday. David, you're a fixed income aficionado. Ford did a green bond. And the green bond was 3.25 for 10-year, backed by next-gen electric vehicles, brings down their cost of borrowing for $100 million. It's backed up by Lincoln and Ford. The last bond was 5 years ago, and it was at plus 195. This is plus 175. Greenium benefit, they call it greenium benefit, was a $40, $50 million year interest savings. So this was a deal, by the way. They thought they'd get interest in about $1 billion. There was interest in $10 billion.
Well, it's interesting because there is a lot of capital that wants to flow towards ESG to a certain extent.
Why did you put that
will bring your cost of capital down.
Right.
Because I think that there's a lot of you really got to differentiate about what truly matters and what doesn't.
Okay.
And having the proper metrics to measure. And I'm not sure we're there yet.
No,
and
you're
I do
absolutely
think
right.
There's a lot of, I hate to call it gimmicks, but there are a lot of gimmicks.
I pressed them. Okay, what's green? I mean, you're just refinancing. Well, the answer is it's backed up by the Lincoln and Ford EVs. So that to me, remember, Jim Farley is revitalizing that whole line. Obviously, it's Tesla is someone you want to catch.
Speaking of which, There's Hertz at the NASDAQ as we get the opening bell and the CNBC real-time exchange. At the big board, it is oil and gas producer Civitas Resources celebrating its listing. And it is Hertz at the NASDAQ celebrating its IPO. That's interim CEO Mark Fields, formerly yes. of Ford, doing yes. the honors there.
Well, look, these two stocks have been odd, Hertz and Avis, because they're repositories of cars. It's hard to find cars. When Carvana comes on Mad Money and says, look, we're having trouble finding cars. Now, tomorrow we get CPI, and used cars are in CPI. So it's going to be, I mean, one of the things that just amazes me, like you're going to hear it sharply above expectations. Well, how about this? Why don't we just change the expectations right now so it won't be?
Although, it still doesn't explain what the 10-year is doing today. His yields are down.
You
Japanese
posted that.
Buying the most since March of last year, Jim. You know, we got the Brainerd discussion going on. As reports that she was interviewed.
And then last night they talked about the meme stocks.
Who talked about the meme
stocks?
Well,
they talked
about financial
hazards.
Stability.
Financial stability, the Fed.
Oh.
Remember when Janet Yellen did that with the biotechs?
144.
No one understands it. It's a great anomaly. Well, no, there'll be people come on and they'll say they understand it. It's much worse and it's wrong and this and that. And I'll come back and say, well, you can sell a trillion right here. You can sell a trillion. Now, when you go to the administration, you say, why don't you do this?
You've been
this?
Talking about this for a decade. They don't listen. Mnuchin didn't listen. They're not listening. They're not listening.
What do you want? The $100?
He wants the 100-year
bond.
He wants the 50-year bond.
How'd you know I was going to say? Maybe I was going to say something about
it. Because I've been sitting here listening to you for a long time. I know you.
I have certain causes. Wow. You broke my heart.
I'm sorry.
Why did you crush me like that?
You know what? There's still time for you to become Treasury Secretary, and then you can make this
I'll
happen.
I'll take the job in a nanosecond. In a nanosecond.
There was a period of time where I thought you actually might become Fed Chair.
Well, a couple weeks ago. Like, really?
Yeah, that last president, he kind of was thinking about you for
that. Get away from this topic right now.
Let's do AMC really quick.
Thank you.
Narrower than expected loss. They're going to start selling their own popcorn in stores. Admissions now on a two-year stack, 90% of 2019.
I think there's more to this story. I just don't know what it is. There's more to the story that the stock stays up. Really. I mean, Cinemark was recommended this morning.
Mm-hmm. Although Citi reiterated their sell on AMC.
Yeah. But I think that I think Adam Aaron is more up his sleeve. I don't think this story's over. I think he's got something. And not just crypto. Crypto.
Okay. And I'll keep coming back to the fundamentals and just making the argument that there's nothing that makes sense in terms of trying to value
the
company on fundamentals.
You've been saying that over and over and over again.
I have, and I've been, and I'm not right or wrong, but the market has certainly defied fundamentals.
Well, okay, let's look at it this way. How about he plays offense and he uses that market cap?
All right, what's he going to do?
And changes the company entirely.
All right, what's he going to do? What do you do?
I don't have to do it. I'm not Adam Aaron.
Cater to a new constituency of shareholders.
Yes.
You embrace crypto.
Yes, remember,
he
has.
You show movies in the metaverse.
Well, no, come on. He has this, remember, 20% of his shares were held by retail and 80% institution. He turned that around entirely. And I think it's worth noting.
When's he selling? That's what I keep wondering.
You're really focused on.
Well, because I think if you're him and you've made an absolute fortune, you're sitting there thinking, when can I actually monetize some of my stake?
Adam Aaron is not sitting there doing it. He's thinking about how to please his shareholders.
I don't doubt it. He's doing a good job.
Thank you. That's all I want. I got that. I beat that admission out of you, and I'm glad you had to say it. Because look what he's done. How much? 1,000%?
What
has Kellogg done for you?
Continue to praise you, because NVIDIA now has an $800 billion market value.
Now you're talking.
And added $100 billion in market value in a handful of days, because I remember tweeting a few days ago when it crossed the $700 billion level.
Well,
it's powered by, of course, what we've been talking about here, hopes for the metaverse.
Well, no, I mean, today was really simulated everything from self-driving vehicles to avatars to robotics, planet
autonomous.
Earth itself.
But, Jim, at some point, does your sponsorship wane in any way? I mean, the stock is now up 144% for this year, much of that having taken place really in the last few weeks or months.
Right.
This has gone parabolic.
My Chapel Trust is the biggest position other than Ford, and I think
if it
wanes,
because
it
represents the biggest dollar-wise position.
I have to figure out what to do.
Exactly right.
I have to figure out, because as a portfolio manager, I want to demonstrate to people at home that you don't just roll the dice here, but we mention it every day. Am I proud to have isolated this one at 20?
Oh, it's one of the great calls.
I don't know. This man is an amazing
man. And you have not. You've been uniformly positive for
years. Because he's a visionary, and he's got a lot of good things he's talking about today. Supply chain, he's got some answers to how to zero-trust supply chain. He has AI to the supply chain, that's going to help. AI to learn physics, speech AI, electrifying AI, large language AI. Dave, there's a lot of AI.
Brookings has a report out today looking at AI corporate investment. They estimate it was $60 billion last year. They think 2X by 2025.
By 2025? How about by the end of next year?
That might be conservative.
Oh, man, AI is everything. Why I say no? Look, AI could be the solution to a lot of problems we have.
Now,
cause any problems, I'm sure.
We can enlarge the aperture, though, and look at the run that the markets have had. Today, B of A says technical upside 48.15. I mean, is any of this making you want to lighten up on your positioning of stocks, period?
We sold a little stock just to get up to what I thought was a more reasonable level of 10% cash, just because I think that things have gotten a little too buoyant.
The S&P is buoyant. Up 25% for the year. The NASDAQ not far behind it.
I think you have to take some profits.
24+%. That's
took
a pretty
profits,
good year.
But not big, because how are we going to get back in? How are you going to get back in?
Meanwhile, you got a 10-year at 144.
Well,
what are you supposed to do?
We were having this discussion off camera earlier. Is Goldilocks like the least embraced trade right now? And is that why you're seeing some of these moves?
Well, look, I had Goodyear Tire on last night. And we don't think about Goodyear much at all, right? Which is wrong. They allowed them to merge with Cooper. And we have tariffs. Okay, so this is an amazing story. It's growing incredible. 24%, 16% natural organic. It sells at 13 times earnings.
Okay.
Right? So how is that expensive? Nucor, downgraded today by someone. I'm not going to call him a clown, because everybody has a right to downgrade. It sells at 5 times earnings. Nucor is the finest steel company in the world. I just don't think these are. No, you will get Snowflake. People constantly talk about Snowflake.
Right. But your point is there are plenty of names out there that are trading at reasonable, if not discounted, multiples.
Right.
And given their growth rates.
Right.
But at the same time, we do have Tesla trading in 150 times next year's earnings.
PayPal's down 22. Destroyed PayPal.
PayPal is not going well.
No.
If you own it. Unless you're short it. There was an expectation it might rebound once they abandoned this idea to buy Pinterest.
That's why I bought it.
But that was not a good purchase.
We're going to have to really spend a lot of time on this, do a real autopsy.
Cowen cuts to 268, yeah. Piper cuts to 280, RBC 298, but across the board, a lot of price.
When you get a slowdown and you blame back to school, when back to school, according to Simon Properties, was the strongest it's ever been, that rings hollow to me. It's not Zillow.
No, it's not. But I mean, you know, it's funny how the moves that we've had in some of these stocks, whether up or down, have been incredible.
When you get dropped off the list of what is bought institutionally, like Peloton,
yeah,
there's just day after day.
Whether it's Peloton,
where it goes down.
Or
which
it's
Peloton
Solo.
Also has news today.
I think Peloton's up today.
It is.
Yep, rolling out this new set-top box for $495 called the Peloton Guide.
Peloton Guide.
New heart rate band, a new voice assist, as they try to come back from what's just been a very painful week.
Well, that's all not to do about nothing. It's kind of like the Venmo deal with PayPal. Venmo. Like, you know, PayPal, Venmo, Amazon. I mean, that's not what I want. I want good earnings. I want acceleration in growth, not a declining growth.
I do want to get you on Horton while we have the time. 370 beats 339, revenue up 27. They are restricting sales orders less than they were in the prior quarter, which some are reading as a directionally good sign on supply.
Well,
supply
look,
chain issues.
I think this is important, because when you speak to Zelman, to Ivy Zelman, it's one of the many things that is wrong. When you speak to Whirlpool, they can't meet demand. But yesterday there was a piece about liking some, not liking Pulte. Lennar and Toll are doing incredibly well. When you speak to Doug Yearley, whom I like to speak to at Toll, he is abject in saying, look, it's just a great time. And unlike David, Doug Yearley does not want to say, well, hold it. Let me tell you when it's going to end. He just says, listen, it's a great time. Look at that stock. Bought back a lot of stock, much lower. So, David, not everybody's thinking about it's a great time, when's it going to end? Some people are just saying it's a great time, and let's just prolong the great time.
Let's just keep pushing it. I get it.
But what's the matter with that? We're just not used to it. We're not used to this long a period.
We've seen periods like this. We have. I mean,
like 1998.
The late 90s into, yes.
Yeah, that's true.
It went on and on and on.
But then we started buying companies.
Irrational exuberance was like 96, wasn't it? I mean.
But look, I just mentioned Nucor. I mean, that thing's going to sell in 5x earnings. Not sales and not eyeballs.
All right, let's come back to one of your favorites, AMD, which had an incredible day yesterday on this deal that they announced formerly known as Facebook.
Well,
I mean, you're getting close now to a momentous market cap moment here.
AMD is going to be
as large as Intel.
She told me 8 years ago she's going to pass it. I said, you're barely alive. Well, how do you like what she did?
So you got the Dow down a little bit, down 75, but the S&P's up to 4704. When we come back, GE's Larry Culp on his plan to split the company into 3 public companies. And while we go to break, let's take a look at the bond report, check out Treasuries. As we mentioned, PPI was in line. Got it on year-on-year up 8.6, though. That's the highest since 2010. That said, yields are down across the board, still below 1.45. We'll be right back.
GE announcing plans this morning to split into 3 separate companies that will be focused on aviation, healthcare, and energy and renewables. Joining us now in a first on CNBC interview is Larry Culp. He is the chairman and CEO of General Electric. Larry, good to see you this morning. Obviously, a big day for the company and its long history. Why is now the right time, and why is this the right structure for GE?
David, good morning. And you're right, it's a very big day for us at GE. We're incredibly excited about the news we were able to share with everyone today. It's not every day that you get to wake up and announce the creation of 3 independent investment-grade industry leaders in important sectors like aviation, healthcare, and energy. But that's exactly what we did today. I think the logic is pretty straightforward. We know, looking at spins elsewhere, that the focus and the accountability in a structure like this always increase. We think we have an opportunity here as well to have sharper capital allocation and more strategic flexibility. And clearly, this is a good thing for the teams in each of the businesses, both the teams we have today and the teams we need to recruit going forward, given the discrete missions that each of the businesses will have. We'll also stand up 2 new boards on par with the GE board that we've reset the last couple of years, chock full of domain expertise that will help each of the businesses as they move forward. I also think we end up with investor bases geared toward each of these businesses. As opposed to why now, again, pretty straightforward. We made a lot of progress the last 3 years. Over $75 billion of debt. Very, very important steps on the deleveraging. We talked on our call earlier today about $5 billion of adjusted free cash flow this year. I think that's a proof point relative to the operational improvements that we have made. We're clearly getting past COVID in many parts of the world. That's a good sign. But I also think we're listening to our customers who want and need GE at its best relative to the energy transition, relative to the future of flight and precision healthcare. Each of these businesses on their own bottoms positions us to do just that. And that's why we're here today. Big news.
It is big news. There's no doubt. And those of us who once worked for the company and certainly have followed it for many years know that. You know, Larry, this is going to take time. It's not till 2023 that healthcare doesn't get spun. It's not till 2024 that renewables, power, digital gets spun. Why not do them together? Why not sort of compress the timeline here a bit instead of sort of staging this over a 2 to 3 year period?
David, what we've announced here this morning is really a 2-step process to yield those 3 industry leaders. I think if you look at the timetable for healthcare, there's no question that that is the business most ready to go, not only in terms of its performance, but some of the preparation still on the shelf from the IPO we considered a few years ago. But we're going to need 2022 to get ready. If we can move more quickly, we will. But Pete Arduini, our new CEO, starts at the first of the year. We've made some other changes with that team. We'll do this as quickly as we can, but most importantly, we'll do it well. If you will, quality before delivery. We've got work to do with the renewables and power team, and that's work that we will do through the course of 2022. So we'll really be focused with Scott Strasek, who will take on expanded responsibilities here, on those improvements during the course of the next year. But we'll be ready to go come early 23 with those businesses as well. And all the while, aviation continues to perform well under John Slattery's leadership. We think we're still very much in the early innings of the aviation recovery, a recovery GE Aviation's very well positioned to support and benefit from.
You know, Larry, it's Jim, and it's great that you came on the show. Really appreciate it. How were you able to pay down?
Good morning, Jim.
How are you able to pay down $75 billion in debt? If you hadn't paid down the debt, this would obviously not be an investment-grade group of companies, and no one would be able to. They wouldn't be able to borrow. But it's rather monumental. And I'm not saying just take a bow because there's still a lot of heavy work to do. But you raised a lot of capital very quickly, and you saved the company. I just wanted to just talk about how you were able to do that.
Jim, good morning. And unfortunately, we couldn't be together today, but it's good to be with you virtually. $75 billion is a lot of money, no question. I'm not sure that we fully appreciated the magnitude of the task 3 years ago. But as you know, we went through a number of portfolio moves, most importantly, the sale of our biopharma business, and then more recently, the merger of our GECAS business with an outstanding competitor, AerCap. A business we still own a good bit of, but we take down another $25 billion of debt there. So two strategic transactions coupled with better operating performance, and bit by bit, we've been able to whittle down that debt load. We still have work to do, so this is not a declaration of victory by any stretch, but we're really pleased with the progress, and we think in turn that's much of the reason why we can not only take this decision, but have the confidence that each of the businesses, when they're independent, will be investment grade as well.
All right, so, Larry, while I was watching the Steelers triumph over the Bears, it occurred to me that, you know what, I should be more critical about your game plan here. Given the notion of greenium bonds, given how much money is willing to be thrown right now, ESG-wise, as David was saying, that I was too circumspect about this renewable and power business. Larry, that may be the business that could accumulate, that could get the most capital. I mean, maybe you're being too cautious with that division.
Well, we have, Jim, I appreciate that. It was good to see the Steelers and Mike Tomlin win last night for sure. But I think with respect to the business, we know. My wife, Wendy, is a big Steelers fan, so that's a shout-out to her. But in all seriousness, we know there's tremendous capital flowing in to the energy space. Just look at what we've heard the last 10 days out of Glasgow. No business is better positioned than GE to help our customers and help governments around the world meet the challenge of climate, right? Be it wind, onshore and offshore. Be it gas, and we'll be full-throated in our support of gas and the role it plays in the energy transition, as well as what we do with grid, particularly in digitizing the grid. We need a modernized grid to take on all the renewables that we will see both in terms of wind and solar over time. This is a business that will not only attract capital, but as we perform better, I think demonstrate that we have an important role to play in a darn good business in its own right.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. That leads me, I guess, to a question of the moment, which is the infrastructure bill. It's about to be signed. Is there a benefit that you can point to specifically for the next year or two for any and or all of your businesses?
Well, I think as we invest broadly in infrastructure, David, that's good for GE. I think that's good for American industry. I think what we're particularly interested in are the investments in the grid. Right. There's a lot to do here in the United States to modernize the grid, both in terms of traditional, if you will, hardware technologies, as well as software. We're ready to go, ready to play our role. That'll be helpful to us. But what we're going to do with respect to the energy transition is a much longer term and a global play, but it's an important step for sure.
Yeah, and we'll be focused on that transition. Back to the spins themselves. Larry, you know, there it would seem that at least there might be the possibility that one of these companies could be better with another company. Have you and the board considered the possibility of a reverse Morris Trust, for example, or some sort of transaction like that, and chosen to go the spin route as opposed to the merge route?
Well, David, I think that you should assume, given the board that we have, an outstanding board that I'm proud to be a part of, we've looked at a number of different options here, but concluded unanimously that this is the best path forward. each of these businesses with its own listing, operating, wholly focused on its customers and its markets, will create a lot of value going forward. There's no question in our mind. If something were to change over time, we'll certainly be open-minded in that regard. We wouldn't shut that off. But I think the plan we've announced today is well-considered and one we're quite confident in.
One can't blame long-term investors for being a bit concerned about what liabilities still may lurk. And that is despite what I know has been you're saying that you've stabilized insurance, you've mitigated funding risk through capital contributions of, I think, $9.4 billion since 2018. You say you manage your pension obligations with discipline. Larry, you're giving your assurance here that nothing is going to pop up that conceivably is going to concern investors in the coming months and years and or potentially even derail some of your plans?
David, I don't think we and the board would announce this plan today if we thought there was the potential for derailment, right? You can never say never. A lot happens in the world. But I think if you look over the last 3 years, we have, I think, done a highly credible job in managing long-term care insurance obligations. I think we have smartly managed the pension to the point where we do not see a cash requirement this decade. You put all that together, we know that there'll be surprises along the way, but in terms of those obligations, I think we've done a strong job managing them, and we've been as transparent as we possibly could be, both with respect to what we know and have done and what we don't.
All right, so Larry, let's talk about one of the elephants in the room. Let's talk about Boeing. Now, obviously, a very important partner of yours, so is Airbus for that matter, and you do a lot of aftermarket, which is great. What is going on at Boeing? This is a great American company, Larry. You and I both know it is not performing the way we know Boeing can.
Jim, I'll let you pick that up with our friend Dave Calhoun next time he's on. We're thrilled to be partners with both Boeing and Airbus. These are important long-term relationships in both instances. And today, our commitment to both of those partners does not change. And as we go forward, okay, there's nothing that we've announced today that will do anything but, I think, strengthen those ties over time.
What do you do when it's 4th and 15, Larry?
Depends where you are in the field, Jim. And fortunately,
well, I think you have to putt.
Today, you know, it's first. It's first and 20 for GE. Or first and 10, I should say, for
Let's
GE.
Let's bring it back. I just thought it was worth a shot because it's a great American company. I thought you might have some insights.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you do, but maybe this is not the right time.
You know, I would assume over this next year and 2 years, investors are going to start demanding perhaps even more information, more transparency for each of these business units,
sure,
as they try to understand exactly what they're going to look like on a standalone basis, Larry. Is there an expectation that you have that you'll be providing even more granularity on each of the businesses?
David, without doubt, right? And it's not just investors, frankly. Customers, the broader GE team, there are far more questions today than we have answers for. And what I've shared with the team internally, and it applies to the investment community, as we work through these questions and we have more definitive plans about capital structures and the like, we'll be sure to share those with the market. But we shared everything that we know to be true today, and as we move forward, we'll certainly update everyone. Rest assured.
And Larry, listen, I know you've been with the company for a number of years here at this point, but there are employees, tens of thousands of them at each of these businesses, and many of them have been for a long time. Many of them own stock that unfortunately has not performed particularly well and was an important part of their savings plan. You know, what do you tell employees today on this momentous day where you basically announced that GE, as we've known it certainly, is no longer going to be the GE of the past?
David, I would take issue with that characterization. We can study the past, but we can shape the future. And that's what today's about. And rest assured, the GE team all around the world is forward-facing today. Now, this news, I'm sure, will come as a surprise to some, maybe a shock to others. That said, this is a team that's committed to winning. This is a team that's committed to serving. And as everyone gets more acquainted with the details, I think they'll understand that the decision today sets us up to play more, to win more, to serve, to grow, to build this company. And that's what GE's been about all the way back to Edison.
Yeah. Well, you know what? In the couple of minutes we have left with you, let me just come to the current moment in terms of our economy. We didn't get a chance to talk to you last earnings. Now we kind of know why. But what are you seeing right now in terms of supply chain bottlenecks, in terms of so many of the issues, employment, labor issues? What are you seeing right now, Larry, from your perspective? Are things getting better or are things continuing to, frankly, get worse?
David, we've certainly seen, I think, robust demand really across the GE portfolio. Our healthcare business is, in many instances, backlogged in a number of key products. We're seeing green shoots in the aviation recovery as the travel mandates restrictions lift. And we've seen good, steady improvement in our power business. Demand in renewables has been a little bumpy here in the U.S., particularly in onshore wind, given some of the concerns about the production tax credit. But all in all, we cannot complain about this demand environment. That said, the supply chain challenges the world over, material, logistics, labor, are very real. I can't tell you today, unfortunately, that things are getting better. I'm not convinced they're necessarily getting worse, but they're challenging, and we have every expectation that they will be challenging, at least through the next several quarters.
But Larry, what is the basis of healthcare? Because I would figure if it's very low, maybe the tax will be bad. But I look at a company like Abbott, and I think that Abbott's such a terrific company, and they could buy that business, and they could just crush it if they had the partnership like that. Medtronic, too. So is that something that you thought about, or is it just doesn't work because of the tax situation?
Jim, I don't think today's the day to talk about potential hypothetical transactions. I think the decision the board has taken, again, a decision we have the utmost confidence in, is to spin healthcare early in 2023, have that business positioned to realize its full potential. We genuinely sit at the center of precision healthcare, and that means different things, but as diagnostics and therapeutics come together, there's a lot that we do today. There's more we can do tomorrow, particularly as healthcare digitizes. And that's what Pete and the team are going to be wholly focused on as we move forward.
Yeah, and you're going to continue to be chairman and CEO for a few years to come, right? But ultimately, I'm just curious, roles for you and the name of all these companies, is that yet to be decided when all is said and done, Larry?
David, let's take those in reverse order. With respect to the brand, no firm fixed decisions. We know that we are beneficiaries of over a century of good work, investment. That's why the GE brand was recently valued at nearly $20 billion. We'll figure out a way to honor and tap into that brand strength with each of the businesses going forward. As it pertains to me, as long as the board will have me, I'm quite happy. And obviously, this is a new chapter that begins today. I'm excited to be a part of. I will serve as the non-executive chair at healthcare when we spin it. And then as we move forward, I'll continue in my current role. And after the second step with power and renewables, I will continue to lead GE, at that point, clearly an aviation-focused company.
Well, Larry, we appreciate you taking time with us today. Look forward to being in person with you.
Yes.
It's a promise from us, at least, next time for sure. But thanks again, Larry.
Thank you, Larry.
Appreciate it.
Jim, what's on Matt tonight?
Okay, we have Roblox, which I think is going to be incredibly exciting. DoorDash, I mean, tough to get a more exciting. DoorDash is interesting, Dave. Tony Hsu.
Yeah.
And then we have Avnet, because I've got to get at the bottom of the chip shortage. It has a good read on it. Very exciting show. Yes, I was trying to get a little conjecture out of Larry, but that's okay. We have to do our best.
Yep. Definitely an historic day. We'll see you tonight. Mad Money, of course, 6 p.m. Eastern time.
You've been listening to the opening bell on CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate, pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.